CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are live on Wednesday morning, and the year has it's just begun. So, I mean, like, let's give ourselves 1 week to acclimatize, get back to normal, and figure things out. We've got Simpiwe here with us this morning, and Bulelo, and you. So good. It's a full house, and looking good for a Wednesday. How are you doing, Simpiwe? I'm good. I've heard a terrible story about you on New Year's Eve that you got kicked out of someone's house because you were like mouthy, and basically you had nothing to do on New Year's Eve. Is this true, or is this horrible, nasty, ugly, made-up gossip bullshit? What is it? I mean, it can only be one of the two, right?
It's not as bad as other kids make it sound. Was I kicked out?
Yeah.
I was actually, yes, that happened, but long story cut short, basically what happened was a group of my mates, we all wanted to celebrate New Year's together, and one of the guys decided to host like a young something-something at his house.
Okay.
We were there. We were having a great night. Drinks were flowing. Vibes were going. And we even did the countdown. 3, 2, 1, happy.
Okay. And like, so you made it to you made it to midnight before you pissed everyone in the house off. Okay.
But clearly, you know, one of the ladies that was there, who is sisters to the brother, was like, you know what, New Year, new me. I want to walk into 2022 with good energy, good vibes. And she decided to call all the troops and be like, guys, what's the issue? You know, we've had issues in the past. What's the issue? Let's talk about it.
Oh, no. So in other words, this was some other person's idea, is that you had to unburden yourself at New Year, and you suddenly had to get all deep and spiritual with each other just because the clock had struck midnight, and this was her chance to lead you into prayer, so to speak. Ay, ay, ay.
Basically. And me being me, saying, oh, you want to have this conversation? Let's have this conversation.
Oh, no.
And I told her business, okay?
Oh.
I wasn't rude, but I told her the truth.
How deep do we go here? Did you tell her that she was a terrible person and she deserved to burn in hell like the witches of Salem?
Oh, no.
And
she asked what the issue was, you know?
What, like your issue with her in particular?
Yes, because once upon a time, we were all in like a group chat, and then she decided to leave the WhatsApp group on her own. So we're talking about that to say, okay, you know, we think this is the reason why you left, because this was the issue that we had with you.
Okay.
And Holmes did not take that well. She was just like, a few moments later, would you please leave?
Okay. Now, did she leave, or did she tell you to leave, or did the host of the party tell you to leave?
Well, she's sisters.
Oh,
you know,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. So she was like, can you please leave, because I'm feeling some type of way. And I lived, you know, it's not that dramatic.
Well, okay. Let's just start off with this. She brought this upon herself. Like, if you ask an honest person, and clearly, you know, a lot of these people are your friends, so they will know this about you, that you're not the kind of person who's going to tread carefully. You obviously have a personality. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be working in the business that you're in if you didn't. And you have some strong opinions. We've heard that before. We've had to mediate between you and Bulelo before with Dr. Hanan. And if someone asks you to be honest with them and they get upset with the result, that's on them, not on you, right? So, so like a huge part of me is very sympathetic. But then another part of me is like, well, you mustn't be stupid either. You're there under their good graces. And if you want to have a party with them, you can't like climb into them, even if they ask you to. You must be like, well, you know, I've had some problems with you in the past, but that's in the past. Happy New Year. It's not really the time to be, you know, unburdening yourself, even if she's invited it in. So you were a few drinks in by that stage, which it kind of happens. I mean, it happens at New Year. Maybe you're a few drinks in and you were like, okay, let me be totally honest to these people. And how's it feeling like a week or so later? Because have they forgiven you? Have you moved on? Is there still some stuff? Because as much as I kind of respect the fact that you said your say, there's nothing worse, and I feel this way sometimes. nothing worse than carrying this this heavy weight of like, I upset people, or I ruined a party, or I got chased out, or I chased someone out. It would hang with me, even though I'm not a very emotional person. It would hang with me for a couple of days after that. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I spoke to the brother.
You don't give a shit, right?
My life continues to move. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. And I'm feeling good. But I spoke to the brother just to make sure that him and I are on, you know, the same page and we're all good. Because he's my friend. I'm not friends with her. So okay. I made sure that bridge is still good. And yeah,
what did he say? Did he say, my sister's a bitch, don't worry about it? Or did he say, oh, well, you know, this stuff happens?
He was more like, things like this happen, and it's unfortunate that it happened when it did. And basically, those were his words. But
okay.
I did not apologize for my words. I apologize for how everything transpired.
But you're good with the rest of your friends. You don't really care if this person likes you or not, because obviously she's not important to you, and she asked you to be honest about her, so she brought this upon herself. Sounds to me like the universe is in balance. How about that, Mbulelo? You agree?
Well, I know a little bit more context of the story now. Okay, well, Simpiwe has at least moved on, is what I'll say. There's a lot more context once you ask the right questions, you know? As with any situation, is you only always get one side of the story. You know when somebody tells you about conflict, it's almost like they're on a first date. They only ever tell you themselves in the best light. They never present the entire picture. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it is what it is.
Are you then suspicious that Simpiwe is leaving something out of the story?
No, I know for a fact. I will ask the proper questions, and I've done that. Uh-huh. And we work with Khomolemo, who everybody knows. He's also involved in the mix, so it's actually a bigger story than just Simpiwe getting kicked off.
You're like the Dick Tracy of this whole story. You've got a whole investigation going on. You're going to be speaking to witnesses. You're going to be digging a little deeper. You take none of Simpiwe's testimony as evidence. I get you. All right. So you're pulling a detective on us. This is what you're doing, right?
I'm here to report the news, not be the news. Uh-huh. You know, and in order to do that, I have to ask all of the people inculcated the truth, you know? So, and the truth is always uglier than what you imagine, always.
But I will
say this. It's a hell of a story.
I will say this, and be like, with what you have gathered, I still, you know, I'm not involved, you know? Hmm. Like, everything else that you unpacked and discovered, it involved Khomolemo and his shenanigans.
Was he there as well? Was he at the party?
Yes, he was.
He is a protagonist. He's actually one of the protagonists in the whole situation.
Get him there right now. Let's figure this shit out right now. Now I'm suddenly way more interested. Season P, where I was about to move on. Thank God we had Mbulelo scratching a little there. Otherwise, we would have been lost.
No, Mbulelo's being a bit dramatic. Because this is... You know, this is what happened to me. I cannot speak on other people and their nights and what transpired for them. I can only speak on me, myself, and I, that I got kicked out or oxygen.
All right, let me get Khomolemo.
Yeah, please. Bring him in. Bring in our next witness.
And he can speak to
please,
to all of this malarkey. Because
all right, thank you. The defense will rest. Let's bring the prosecution's next witness in, please. Let's see what he has to say.
Let us give the bailiff us.
Just call him over here. Let's get him on. All right, so Simpiwe, this is not as simple as you made it out to be. There's obviously some other stuff going on here.
Well, for me, it is. I cannot talk on other people's business and what they get up to. You know what I mean? I was not involved. I was not there. I can only attest to what I witnessed and what I said. Everything else, I cannot.
Well, Justin says everyone becomes a gremlin after midnight. Yeah. Gail has some great advice here, which comes from what I said on Monday. Go to bed at 11:30 and you won't get into trouble.
I'm still young. No.
I hear you.
No.
my sister-in-law once cucked to my husband while they were visiting us for the weekend. We couldn't kick her out. They left early the next morning.
That sounds like drama. Yeah. I will say this about me. I don't like drama. I don't like confrontation. But if you come at me and you're like, yo, let's have a conversation, I will give you that. And I'll have a talk.
All right.
Let you know what's on my mind.
Here he is. Here's Khumulemo. How's it, Khumulemo? What's happening there?
You know, can't complain. Can't complain.
All right, dude. You know, listen, I want you to know that the court will put you into witness protection if we need to keep you safe from Simpiwe should you give any testimony that she doesn't like and she threatens you. We never know because she's threatened other people and been thrown out of parties. So as far as I can tell, she may be in danger. And we will assure you this morning in the court that we will look after you should she decide to, you know, get angry about your response here. So simple question. You heard the story as she proposed it. What are we missing from this? Was there anything that Simpiwe is deliberately hiding from all of us this morning?
I mean, apparently there's like more to the story according to Lebang and...
Oh, Lebang also is involved.
Well, and...
Sweet
in Jesus. The conversation that we had in the office.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
she's
okay.
Involved, right?
Go on. We're all ears.
So, guys, personally, personally, right? This what happened on the 31st/1st has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
According to Mbulelo and them, they say it has everything to do with me.
Were you at the party?
Yes, I was.
Okay. What did you see when it came to the issue of Simpiwe being thrown out?
See. I was living my best life. I was away from the drama.
All right.
Simpiwe, on the other hand, was part of the drama.
Did you hear a noise? Did you see some people getting a little bit hyperactive? What happened? Explain
you
it
know,
as you saw it.
One minute you're having a good time. Next minute there's like a little commotion. Mm-hmm. People are just like up and down. Somebody's crying there, the corner, and you're just trying to figure out, Aibo. And then, what's going on? So, we then realized that a drama that happened a year ago.
Oh, right? This has deep roots.
Yeah. Is now coming back into the forefront, right? And now it's like, but...
Is this a drama between Simpiwe and this other girl, or Simpiwe and this girl's brother, who's her friend?
No. So the brother, myself, and there's another friend of ours, the Jens.
Yes.
We are team no drama.
Okay.
So we try to...
Yeah, everybody's claiming no drama here, but at this stage it sounds like someone somewhere is starting the drama. So what do we know about this?
I will share this.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Lebang and Mbulelo's theory in terms of how Khumulemo is involved is that once upon a time, him and the girl that I had a bit of a fallout with now, who asked me to leave, they had a thing.
All right. Oh, okay.
And
the plot thickens.
These words of don't bring any other girls at my house were spoken.
Ooh.
Right?
Wow.
Fast forward a year later, is Khumulemo not in a relationship?
Oh.
And his girlfriend's at the party. So that's Lebang and MKT's theory that she was triggered. She saw Khumulemo happy, in love, living his best life. And the only way she could, you know, get that frustration out was to take it out on me. And because me being me, I'm going to tell you the truth. And then she was just like, you can leave. That's MKT and Lebang's theory.
So what you said to her had to do with her and... Khumulemo, essentially.
No, it had nothing to do with them, but they say that she might have felt triggered, like, you know, when she saw Khumulemo, and she was just like, he's happy, he's moved on without me, you know, like...
So why did she, why do you think she took it out on you?
I have no
idea.
Okay, go Khumulemo, let's hear why, yeah?
Because... They are part of the drama. They are the drama.
Mm-mm.
So Simpiwe, the chicken question, and another friend of theirs, they decided to have this conversation, this spiritual, let's kind of you know, fix what is broken and what was fixed, and you know what this sounds like.
And I have kind of have to agree with Carl here. You've got two more minutes of this bullshit. We're fast approaching the point where nobody cares. I kind of agree with him because it sounds like this is made up. This is made up nonsense. That people, some people were bored on New Year's Eve, or they were just drunk, and they were looking for a reason to have an issue with each other. And it might have been Simpiwe's fault, but it sounds to me like it could have been this other girl's fault.
That's the end of the story.
I will say, you know, one thing I have taken away from Bulela, everything in life is your fault.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't admit to causing the drama, but in hindsight, I could have maybe handled
one or two things better that night. All right.
That night, yes.
Well, I think...
And I had nothing to do with anything.
Well, you've been useless as a witness, Khomolemo. I'm never calling you again as a witness.
I mean,
you've helped not at all. You've made things more complicated, and you haven't solved any issues for us. So I don't get this. All right, listen.
It's because I'm not involved.
All right, clearly. I mean, what a terrible witness he was. all right, let's leave it alone. I do want to ask
you. Our lives are not that interesting.
Did you eventually get your new phone? Because that was a big thing before Christmas, and you had to wait until after Christmas to get your new phone. And now you've got it, so this is exciting.
Yes.
This is the king of all iPhones, right? You've got the latest version?
Yes.
Hmm.
Not everybody has it, ladies and gentlemen. I am part of the exclusive club of iPhone
so did you get it?
Pro users.
Well, you got it yesterday?
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait to start shooting. I can shoot in cinematic, 4K. Okay, 4K is there with my previous phone, but it's just
this
like
is the
so
this is the iPhone what 13 or something?
Pro, Pro. Okay, it's the bad boy of all bad boys. It's good. Oh, I'm so excited, guys! I am super happy. I'm no longer living in struggle with my old phone. Like you know, now I can take out my phone.
Did you go and collect it after the show yesterday?
Oh no! It got delivered.
So okay. So what time was it delivered yesterday?
During Yaku's show, so at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So it made my Tuesday morning.
But you must have been very distracted because, you know, you were busy working. And I know if I got a brand new phone while I was meant to be working, I would not be concentrating very hard on work.
I didn't even know that it was going to be delivered. And then I'm talking to Yaku like, oh, you know, Yaku, New Year's was good.
Right.
But this year we're going to go in harder. We're going to create more content. Just need to wait on the phone. And before you even left, the phone was delivered. So I was like.
Isn't the best feeling in the world that moment where you unwrap you open the box up and you, with a really great iPhone, they always have, well, all iPhones, you open up the box and it just slides open like that. It's part of the aesthetic that Steve Jobs was so insistent on, right, is that the box is just, it's made so beautifully that it just fits tightly enough together that you can lift the lid if you hold it right and it just slips down, boom, thing opens up. It's beautifully wrapped up with that plastic across the front and the back. You got a little tab there. There's nothing nicer than a new phone. My God.
Nothing.
Like, right?
After the few weeks of how I've gone through, yes, I'm so happy. Like, I'm just like, yeah, we're starting 22 on the right notes. Like, whoa, yes.
So how long did it take you? Were you lying in bed last night figuring out, like, settings and new features and all the rest of it until, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night?
No, not really, because I just did the whole, like, transfer of my data to the new phone, and I kind of already knew what to expect. So one of my friends had gotten his last year, so I was already playing with his. I was like, oh my gosh, like, dude.
But you because I'm a super turbo nerd at this, and you know, Tracy points out that unwrapping and unboxing is a real thing these days, and people even make videos of that, and they can't they can't wait to share it. And I've watched some of these things, these unboxings. I mean, some of it is, especially if you're interested in the product, some of it's really, really interesting, and some of it's dumb as hell. But you're not one of those nerds like I am where you know it's coming. So for a week or two beforehand, you're busy reading articles about what the upgraded phone does and what kind of features it has. And you didn't do any of that. You just messed around with this friend of yours' phone so you could get some feel for it.
Yes, that's the best way, because I had already read up on the 12, so I was like, what's the difference now, you know? And I think the biggest difference for me was the cinematic. Now I can shoot in cinematic.
What does that mean?
On your phone.
What does cinematic mean when you shoot? Is it just like a very advanced camera? Because that's pretty much the only improvements iPhone has made over the last couple of upgrades. Am I right, Mbulelo? You're as cynical as I am about this stuff. It's all marketing, right?
I've never had a nice cell phone in my life, so I don't really know. The only nice cell phone I ever had was my mom's iPhone 5. Like 300 years ago. So I've never really dabbled in the nice cell phone world.
Sorry, let me play the sad music for you, because that's the most pathetic answer I've ever heard in my life. I mean, here we are. Oh. We're busy getting excited about this, and Mbulelo's sharing his sad story of how the last great phone he had was an iPhone 5 back in the year 2000 or something. Sorry.
I'm sorry I came from a destitute home, poverty, a broken home.
don't
spoil. We had nothing.
We've got a vibe going here about how excited Simpiwe is, and you make it all about how sad and poor you are.
We ate the dust beneath our shoes to sustain us.
Don't spoil.
Okay, Mbulelo, you know, this is my moment, okay?
Yeah. Like, oh, sorry.
Stop it.
This is her moment to spend the 1.3 million on bottles of champagne at a club in Pretoria. And you're like the waiter who walks up and says, but my whole family died in a terrible accident last week and you people are celebrating. Don't spoil my fun, is what Simpiwe is saying.
Stop that. Sorry. I don't need that kind of energy right now. It's still new. It's still... You know, it still has that, I don't want to drop it. I don't.
But I mean, come on. So what is cinematic? Ooh. Really? What is it?
Oh, so it's most of the time, I don't know how to explain it, but I'm going to try my best, right? In your actual like cameras that you have, your DSLR, you can like shoot in cinematic, which is like a mode in how like filmmakers shoot things, and it's like a depth of feel, it's more crisp.
Oh, wow.
It's just like really beautiful. So the fact that now you can get that kind of quality on your phone is incredible. So if I was a filmmaker, I can basically shoot an entire movie using my phone and just changing either a wide lens, standard lens, and then like going to cinematic. So that's like,
okay.
That's where they can.
I'm just going to pretend I know what you mean, because I didn't really understand a lot of that stuff. Depth of field. I don't know what that is.
just know that you will look crisp, look good, and, you know, it's just, I'm excited.
I must just tell you, Mbulelo, you're getting a lot of hatred from people saying, you know, shame, Mbulelo, such a hard fucking life, says Sparks. There's a lot of people giving you a huge amount of shit here. And then Justin says Steve Jobs died and all innovation at Apple died with him. Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. Doesn't sound like Simpy will be making any calls on that phone, says Dude69.
Yeah, she should have bought a camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like you should have just bought a nice camera.
Right.
In fact, I would imagine for the price of that cost. So first of all, congrats on your phone. It's awesome. Get a cover, because inevitably.
Yes. Oh my God. Because you know what the worst is? Is like this happened to someone I know. They picked up their phone, their brand new phone. They went, got it from a store, and then they were walking out and they were getting it ready and everything. And as they got out of their car at home, they dropped the thing on the floor, smashed on the paving or whatever it was, and they had to go and get a brand new screen straight away, and it was like $5,000 or $6,000, and it's can you imagine, because the phone itself is expensive and you have to replace the screen within the first 5 minutes of having it. It's ridiculous.
Get a cover with the phone. If you're getting these phones cost $30,000 or whatever. I don't know what these you rich hoity-toity people do.
Oh, stop it. Like,
get a cover.
You don't live in
sand. No, it's not just the cover. It's a screen protector as well. So
right.
I'm going to get that done today.
Good.
But definitely, I'm one of those people, once when I'm in the store, I'm like, okay, we're not leaving. Put the cover on, put the screen protector on, so that when I'm out of here, I know my phone is fully protected. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, since it is January, and I just spent a bit of money, you know, on the phone, if you'd like to buy me a cover, go ahead.
Yeah, now
those covers are not cheap, you know.
Yeah, and no, I'm sorry, Simpiwe, you know, it's not going to work.
If you
go and get like the best phone on the market, don't expect someone else to pay for the upgrade to its you know, whatever you call it, safety features.
Yeah, that's mid-range living right there. Is that I've got the Golf 7, but I don't have furniture in my house. Like, what are we doing?
No, maybe you still have a bit of a you know, festive spirits are still there, that 1% is still there. You know, if you feel like those covers are expensive, I will get it today. I'm just saying, if somebody else would like to pay that bill,
no,
I'm not going to complain. Yeah. I'm not going to say no.
I just want to say at this stage that Simpiwe is living a whole different life, because yesterday I realized what's going on, actually.
Yeah.
Her phone matches her car. So Simpiwe recently got a new car as well.
That's right.
And then she volunteered this information, right? She comes and she, while we're chatting, I'm like, oh, the phone matches the car. She's like, yeah. I don't have a purse, you know? So when she's walking, she's got her car keys in the one hand, mm-hmm. her cell phone in that one hand. At all times.
Doesn't your car? Isn't your car
advertising?
Also, your car is enabled to like talk to the phone, so the two of them are compatible or something, right? You've got one of those. It's almost like it's, what do they call it, Apple CarPlay or whatever.
I don't know.
So if you connect,
I know there's Bluetooth, so I just connect.
You know
by
what
Bluetooth,
I mean?
That
like it connects, and then there's a certain application on the screen that you use, so the phone basically and the car are talking to each other. There's a software kind of connection that's going on there. Isn't that what's happening? Because you drive a very sexy little car.
Yeah.
Look at her pretending she doesn't know what I'm talking about. All right. Derek says, Simpiwe seems to always be looking for blessings.
Well, it links to what I was telling you.
Yeah,
it links to what I was telling you. Simpiwe is always carrying the car key because she drives a very. You've got to have Simpiwe's personality to drive her car.
Yeah, sure.
Like it's one of those things where if you're not in shape, you shouldn't wear a tailored suit because the suit is wearing you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Simpiwe's car fits her personality.
Right.
And now the phone, look out the streets of Joburg. There's a new Simpiwe out here.
Well, we're going to move on from this in a second, but Pihleng says he's had the same phone for 5 years this month and not bothered with whatever Simpiwe and the rest of you all are on. As long as the battery works, then we're good. Well, you should get, Pihleng, you should get one of those cheap little phones that I gave the family for Christmas for like a couple of hundred rand. And it's this big. It's like it's a tiny little thing. If you really don't care, because it seems that thing has got the battery and it does all the things that you need it to do. So, all right. You know, either you go.
That sounds sad as well. Like, you've had the same phone for 5 years. Sure. I'm not judging. Don't worry. Ugh, I just got a new phone. That's it.
No, very nice. I'm very excited for you because I love that. There's nothing more exciting for me than having a brand new like device. And the phone is the thing that we carry around with us the most. So if you're going to spend any money on something, let it be that. And for your work, it's essential, right?
Yes.
You couldn't do it without your phone.
I need to shoot content, you know. In the words of Mbulela, I'm in the business of content.
Right.
So I always need to make sure that, like, you know, I know what's out there and I know what's the best toy to use. And right now, I'm very happy. I'm very happy and eager. And I just can't wait to start shooting videos.
We're not going to hold you back. So from 9 o'clock this morning, we're expecting to see some sparks. Make sure it all happens there, Simpi. We're no pressure.
Cinematic, yeah.
All right. Here's a question for Mbulelo from Space Brother Productions. He says, I still can't get over the ANC golf day. It was pathetic. Mbulelo, did you see Cyril's buffalo belly swing? So
I didn't.
There was an invite that was sent around about the ANC golf day and how much it would cost you to play golf with the president. Did you see that? With the price list?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It's like a couple of 100,000 to a couple of million rand, depending on how much you were going to spend. And then you could get to play with various ANC people. So this was sent around. Let me see if I can find it and I'll pop it up on screen for you. Because I don't think anyone was invited, but there was this price list that did the rounds of how much it would cost you to play golf. There was the gala dinner that we spoke about the other day, right? So the titanium package here at the gala dinner was from 1.2 million. So that guy who bought all that champagne this weekend in Pretoria, he could probably afford this. 8 seats at the presidential table at the gala dinner and a table for an additional 4 guests. That was the price for the titanium package. But then the golf day was another part of this, right? So the golf day was a whole separate thing. You are invited to the ANC's 110th, let me just see if I can put this on the screen for you, then I don't have to read the whole thing, 110th anniversary, which was obviously over the weekend. So let me see here if I can just share this. This was on the 7th of January, so this last weekend. And they had a whole price list of the various options if you're a golfer and you wanted to play golf with the ANC bigwigs. Do you want to know what those prices were, Mbulelo?
I do.
Right. Let me put this up here for you. You can see it for you with your own eyes, so you know I'm not lying to you. This is the price list for the ANC's golf day, okay? And there are various options here for you. You can see it on the screen now. Category 1, a 4-ball to play with ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa, 350,000 rand. And they had bank details there. They had how you book, who you book with. It's a whole thing. Then there's Category 2 to play with Premier Stanley Mataba. Obviously, that was much cheaper, 200,000. Then you could play with some MEC or minister. That was Category 3. So that's obviously, that's shit. That's like 100,000. And then as it goes down, you get to play with an NEC member at Category 4. And then there's just Category 5, which is just an individual, like, 4-ball. That's like you and three of your mates. You could say you were at the ANC's golf day. That's just 10 grand. So depending on how much you're willing to spend.
Astounding.
But I like the way that they grade it. So, you know, an MEC or a minister is like 100 grand. The premier of the province is 200,000, and then the president of the country, you can get to, you know, walk the golf course with Cyril for a mere 300,000, which to some people would be worth it because they could say I played golf with the president. If you're a rich person, 300,000 not that much money. You shell out for the ANC. They get to use it for fundraising. And you get to spend the day walking around the golf course of the president. Sounds good to me.
What's weird to me is I've never seen it in the Western world. This perhaps they do it. I mean, I'd imagine people play golf with Donald Trump to get business deals.
Absolutely.
But what's disturbing to me is how unashamed they are now.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Because what this tells you is now we're in business. We're not running the country. Because it's all about networking. It's almost, there's a kind of insidious side. They're almost saying, if you want the business deal, the deal is done on the 17th green. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that is so putrid to me.
Yeah, it's revolting.
It's so putrid that they're not even hiding anymore. They didn't even,
the fact that we can all, look, it's also because we live in an age of social media and these things get sent around and, you know, not everybody's a fan of the ANC and not everyone's a fan of the president, that now, you know, people like me are getting these emails with the price lists on them, which we would never have probably got before. They would have only circulated them to loyal cadres and, you know, and business partners.
Fellow constituents.
I would love to see who the people are who did pay that. I mean, that's the really interesting stuff, is not seeing the prices, but seeing who the people are who paid the prices. Don't you think that would be interesting?
I'd love to know. I'd like to see, like, what if, you know, I'd like to see, like, you know, billionaires are very impatient people, the very few of them that I've met.
Mm.
I'd love to see the billionaire who's, like, good at golf, and now Cyril's terrible at golf. like, because there's a point where he stops caring that's the president. Like, just pick your ball up, man. Let's go. Get in the cart. I got a business call in America in an hour.
And also, I mean, if he's the president, can he really spend the morning playing golf? Because his phone has to be on the whole time. There might be something really important going on. Could be a crisis. You don't want to play golf with someone like that. I've never played golf, so I have no idea how it works. But it must be very irritating if there are constant interruptions. You know, people coming up to the president going, sir, listen, we've got an issue in Mpumalanga. One guy's been shot and he's, you know, whatever. Or there's been a flood in a certain town. Or do you think he gets interrupted, or do you think that for that golf game, they just say someone else will handle it?
Nah.
He does not get interrupted. He is on do not disturb.
Okay.
The entire day, in fact, the entire week is booked off, you know, because they have to attend to the people that paid, you know, they need to give them the attention.
Yeah.
So
imagine you
in
pay,
my opinion,
imagine
I don't think he'd
you, because obviously if you paid your 300,000 and then the president could only play one of those holes because he got called away into an urgent meeting, you'd be furious, right? You'd want your money back.
So my friend has two phones. So he has two phones. One that when that one rings, he knows things are hot because that's his wife.
Oh.
Only she has that number.
Okay.
So Cyril will only answer one phone. That one's in the golf bag. Otherwise, my man's out. You know,
codes.
When your wife phones, then you best come correct.
Well, yes, I would think so. Okay, yeah. So that was interesting. A lot of people commenting, though, that he, you know, he has a bit of a buffalo belly, and that his tee off was priceless to watch, and it was not very good. But I don't know because I didn't see it, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yes, he is a considerable figure.
Bihleng says, give Mbulelo a 4-ball to play alongside Batabile and Faith Mutambi. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Those two will fix him for us because clearly Sim's prayers don't work. Simpiwe's prayers.
Hey, prayer. Do not rush prayer. Okay, we still have the whole year to go. It's not December yet.
This is you praying.
The Lord can still work, okay?
This is praying, please, you praying please, for guys. Mbulelo to find a wife.
Oh, it was Lebang, but I was definitely, you know,
you're in
on
it.
Some, yes, girl. I also spoke in some tongues. I was like, you know, just to make sure that the spirit of the good Lord, it finds Mbulelo and finds his heart and also finds the lady that he'll be with.
You were part of the mess yesterday when we were trying to get that tarot card reader on. You saw how badly his energy interfered with her. By the way, we got a...
Hey, even homegirl was like, she sent some hostility.
Let me read
like,
this.
Mbulelo.
By the way, I'm not talking out of school here, but this is kind of funny. We were trying to get this tarot card reader on the show yesterday, and she was already, and you know, there were some technical issues, but she was struggling to connect, and she said, the four of cups kept coming in on two different decks. This is her message to Simpiwe. That generally means hostility and interference. I guess it was coming from both ends. The seven of swords also showed up, but today may not have been the day since the eight of cups also came through. This is how she talks about the tarot, right? I didn't go deeper, but the hermit showed up too, so I had to pack it up. Well, a lot of people, I'm not going to say who, a lot of people say that you, Mbulelo, were the source of hostility towards the tarot card reader, and that's why she couldn't get on the show yesterday.
You know, here's the thing. Why were you all feeling that energy to say me? Maybe you guys want to live vicariously through me. Your energies
whatever.
Right now are not right. I'm open. I'm an open person. So don't cast that on me. It wasn't me.
All right.
No
are
way.
You sure? Maybe you're subconscious. You know, deep down. We need to unpack that, Mbulelo. It's okay to you know, well, experience new things. It's okay.
The Sword of Dumbledore came out. Simpiwe, didn't you hear that? And maybe
Sword of Dumbledore. All right, let's leave this alone because we do actually have some real questions here. So let's look at some of the stuff in the news. First story that we've got in the news, and this is about the matric papers. Now, this is really interesting. Apparently, they're not publishing the matric exam results in the newspaper like they have for, 100, 200 years. Apparently, part of this is because they say that it's it can be very bad for some people to have their results published. They have, they have all kinds of issues around that. But there are also other reasons. Apparently, the Department of Basic Education said the usual practice of publishing the National Senior Certificate results on public platforms will not occur for 2021. The results will be released on the 21st of January, so in a few days' time. They cited the Protection of Personal Information Act as the reason, saying the dissemination of the pupils' personal information would be a contravention of POPIA. So all those people who've ever had their matric results published, whether they were good or bad in the newspaper, now suddenly the government cares about your privacy. But when I was at school, it was there for all to see. Oh, Gareth did really well or Gareth did really poorly. But now suddenly they care about the privacy of matrics. What do you think of that? Is that bullshit?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Absolutely.
I'm
ridiculous.
Mad because these kids are also not passing well. So it's like almost you protect and coddling kids that,
exactly.
Like what, we had 38% pass rate. Yeah, I'm so mad. Like, yeah, nah. Nah.
So do they have a plan? Are they going to put it online? Is the system offline? I mean, what are we doing here?
Okay, so they said,
like, if I live in Mawele Ring, how do I find out?
So here's the story. All learners will be required to obtain their statement of results from the school they attended. In this way, every learner's personal information with regards to the outcome of the exams will be protected. But you know what this is. It's not about the Protection of Personal Information Act. Nobody believes that. Do you believe that? It's about this is about the department being embarrassed about how many useless results there are. It's about the department pretending to care about people's mental well-being and emotional well-being, because matric is a tough time and the results are tough for some people, but that's always been the case. And how else do you expect to be evaluated through life? Do you think every step of the way there's going to be someone like Angie Mocheka holding your hand, saying to you, oh, don't worry, we won't embarrass you by publishing your results, even though they were shit? And now how do we find out who the good people were? Because you know what I liked about the matric results every year is we got to see who these genius kids are, who got like 10 distinctions, the kinds of people who are just superhuman when it comes to intelligence and studying and learning. I mean, we need to know who those people are. So, again, what we're doing here is we're just basically trying to hide the standard. We're trying to hide how good or bad we are as a country. And it comes from the wrong place. I don't believe for a second it's about being nice or being thoughtful or being considerate or being kind. It doesn't come from there at all. It's about embarrassment. It's about covering up. And it's about making everybody seem like they've won by just participating. In other words, matric results have become another participation medal.
Inevitably, there's also going to be a tender for who distributes in the new way. That there's always a new tender for that.
That could be it.
And to finish off on this, you know how I'll know it's BS? Don't release the 10 distinctions people as well, not because they're not awesome. Mm-hmm. Because what if I don't want to just be seen as somebody with 10 distinctions? If it's really about protecting my feelings.
If it's about the Poppy Act, then sorry, you can't release any
good.
You can't release any good news either. In other words, the only way you should find out that someone has got a whole lot of distinctions is if you're actually talking to them yourself. So we'll never know.
You have to waterboard them.
We'll never know who the best people are. We'll never know who the people are who've passed and failed until you actually interact with them personally. I suppose that's fine for some people, but I just think that they're trying to hide the ball. That's what's going on here. And basically, that's what Simpiwe was saying just a second ago. I could go back now in time. To me, there was something exciting about, for many people, it's the only time you ever do see your name in the newspaper, right? And obviously there were mistakes some years. Some people's names got left out. You got thousands and thousands of matrics. Obviously, you know, some people are going to be mistakes. And there were, I do remember, there were always controversies every year with people who thought that they'd failed. And then they passed, but no one remembered to put their name in or something. Those things happened. That is no reason to cancel the process.
The older I get, I love seeing that just to humble myself. You know, when you see somebody who did like 10 subjects and they got distinctions in all of them and they did like maths in Japanese or whatever. And I like to go, I'm so stupid. This is incredible. Human beings are amazing. Like, look at this 18-year-old who could walk circles around me in any intellectual
task. And by the way, there's another part of this that is irritating to me. Is we have all paid for them to go to school because, you know, the taxpayer is paying for. That's why we demand results, not just because we want to see young people come out of the school system with skills and basic abilities like reading and arithmetic and writing. Those are essential. And that's part of it. But also, guess what? We paid. So we deserve to know what the results are. We deserve to see what we paid for. And we want to know how the kids did. Because essentially, through your tax, you're already paying for a bunch of other people's children that you don't know. So I'd like to know how they did, actually. I think this is a terrible hiding the ball by the Department of Education. I'm annoyed about this. Sorry. Anyway. My daughter passed matric AS levels, says Tembisa, and I suggested for the gap year she should take the CAPS and go to township schools for the experience. Thought it would be a fun experience. Well, it could be. I mean, listen, I don't like the idea of a gap year. I think you've either got to come out of school and continue studying, if that's what you're going to do, if you want to go and do university or you want to get some skills in a particular thing, or you must go straight into the workforce and find an apprentice job or an internship or whatever and get out there and start working. This idea of a gap year that your parents must now pay for you to have fun just because you passed matric, that's some bullshit. So I go, no, because I never had that, so I don't feel any qualms about telling other people they shouldn't have it either. I don't feel bad about that at all.
Yeah,
wasn't 100%. Even an option.
Yeah, wasn't an option for me either. Yeah, my parents are like, what? A gap year? Because I told them some of my friends were going to do this.
At whose expense?
Travel the world.
My expense.
Exactly. My dad was like, oh, really? You think you're going to get to travel around the world on my money? He's like, first of all, there isn't any. Second of all, if I had that money, I wouldn't be spending it on you having fun and traveling the world. Get to work. That's what I was told. Anyway.
What a great father.
No. And he was right. He says, go straight there. Go to university.
There's something about old school parenting that got us right. This new age one, guys.
My parents are like, well, what do you want to study? And I said to them, oh, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. Eventually they're like, well, you've got 2-3 days to make up your mind, and then we'll decide how we're going to pay for this, because I didn't qualify for a bursary or anything. And they're like, you will pay it back, which I had to do. I mean, I don't feel like this was the hardest life ever, because I still did get to go to university, and you know, I don't feel sorry for myself, but the fact is there are so many people who come out of school and then they think, okay, well, now I've made it. Now let's chill. School's the easiest part of this equation.
In fact, this is such an important conversation. I'm still after a limit where we can say to children, your parents have done enough now. I would say, because we all mature at different rates, I've always proposed 20 as the age. So at 20, it's 2 years after you've left school. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes. Now, you're looking at the king of mistakes. I made mistakes for 10 years, so I would have fallen out of this. But for 2 years, I would say your parents should give you that buffer if necessary.
Sure.
After 20, Nehlanya, get out of here.
Right.
Get out of here.
I'm with you, man. I'm sorry. There's not a lot of sympathy coming from me on this one. And then here's an interesting thing that Basit Sana points out. I think she means the pass mark for each subject is like 30%, not the pass rate.
Even worse. Our
pass rate's 70-something percent. But that still means that like almost 30% of people who write matric do not pass matric. That's a lot, you know?
It's crazy.
You would not trust a doctor that passed with 30%.
Not a chance.
Either how no are way. You allowing kids to pass that 30%? It's just as bad. You don't know the work. You don't.
I'm with you. You're not going to get any argument from me. It is a brand new year, though. And the one thing that we need to pay attention to, because it's been volatile AF over the last couple of days, is cryptocurrencies. Now, for the last 2 or 3 weeks of December, I wasn't really paying attention. And if I had, I would have been crying some of the time. But it's time to catch up on what was going on the markets and in cryptocurrencies, and to find out from our connection, the guy who knows the most about this, the guy who started a platform called Revix, which if you haven't heard about it, where have you been? It's time to get Sean Saunders back on, and we can talk a little bit about crypto. Hey, Sean, how are you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, and Happy New Year, team. It's good to see you all again.
Yeah, don't say Happy New Year to Mbulelo. He says anything after the 2nd of January, you can't say Happy New Year anymore.
It's the 12th, yeah.
Very strict.
Let's not do this, yeah.
Well, it's our Happy New Year, right? This is the first time we're seeing each other.
No. So, Happy New Year, Sean.
There we go. Thank you, Simpiwe.
There we go. So there's some love. There's some love.
All right, so Sean.
Awesome, guys.
Let's get straight into it, because there were so many good weeks leading up to kind of the first week of December, where people were going, oh, this is great. Our portfolios are heading for the sky. And even at the end of the last time we spoke, you sounded hugely optimistic. Is there usually a dump that takes place around Christmas? Because it certainly felt like it this year.
It's difficult to say whether there's any sort of, they call it a calendar effect, when you look at the price of crypto moving down or up or anything like that. So I wouldn't necessarily attribute any of the changes in price to that.
Okay.
But what I would look at is what happened with the Fed last week. So the central bank in the US, they came out. They were far more hawkish, as they call it. So, you know, they're looking at raising interest rates far quicker. They're looking at reducing the amount of money that's in circulation through changing their bond buying program, essentially. I'm not going to get into detail around that, but that has a massive implications in traditional markets. You would have seen the high flying tech stocks. They've really pulled back. I mean, crypto seems to have just followed those sort of high flying tech stocks. So you've seen a pullback just kind of across all more risky assets. The likes of a Netflix, the likes of a Nvidia, Tesla, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, throw all the sort of high risk, high volatility assets. You know, they've all just sort of pulled back together. The reason for that really is that there could potentially be higher interest rates, and you know that comes from high inflation in the US as well. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that area. And then something that perhaps your listeners wouldn't know about, and maybe they do, I don't know, would be the uprising that happened last week in Kazakhstan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gareth, do you know anything about this?
Well, there's Kazakhstan, basically, since the breakup of the USSR, has had the same party in government. It's almost like what happened in South Africa in 1994. The ANC has been in power since then. And the people are just not very satisfied with what's been happening. There was this guy called Nursultan Nazarbayev, who was the president of Kazakhstan for a long time. And he ran the whole country like a family business. You know, he's a bit of a gangster. And since he's gone, it's really just been cronies of his that have been in charge. And Kazakhstan has not grown. It's not improved. It's gone backwards in many ways. Most people's lives have got a little bit worse. And with the pandemic and everything else, I think it reached fever pitch. And the people of Kazakhstan are just protesting left, right, and center. So the place is very unstable. How does that relate to crypto, though?
Yeah, brilliant segue. So interestingly, you know, China last year banned Bitcoin mining and interaction with cryptocurrency, and a lot of those miners moved over to Kazakhstan. So Kazakhstan is the world's second biggest Bitcoin mining country, and that essentially they can make up about 20% of global Bitcoin mining. So what happened with the protests last week and the week before is the government decided, hey, and I mean, we think we have it bad in South Africa, right? I mean, look at what happened here. You had a government essentially that turned off all telecoms and turned off all the they got some sort of an internet dead switch, and they managed to turn off the internet. And what that meant really is that a whole bunch of Bitcoin mining operations went down. So you had 20%, the estimates really actually say 18% of global Bitcoin mining was just offline for the period of, you know, 2-3 days. Oof. So that had this huge sort of knee-jerk reaction across the crypto space. So that was in addition to what was going on at the Fed. And it's quite fascinating. I mean, we think about the protests that happened in South Africa last year, the looting and all the rest.
Yeah.
I mean, with these protests, you had 8,000 people arrested and 165 people died. I mean, that's a pretty, it's a pretty big protest, really. I mean, in a rather small country as well. But yeah, I suppose that's not something that's changed.
Now this should worry a lot of us who are interested in crypto, because it does show a bit of a flaw in the system, because we keep on saying how crypto is kind of independent. You know, it's got this decentralized ledger, so we don't have to rely on governments. But it seems governments can still flex their might and cause some serious repercussions for cryptocurrencies.
And that's exactly that. That's a very valid point. And I think if you're looking over the short term, this is definitely a risk, right? So what you will now see is a whole bunch of these Bitcoin mining operations moving to other jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. So you are going to see some of these operations move over to the U.S. There was a bit of trepidation around moving to the U.S. before. They're currently the biggest sort of mining operation or mining country in the world. And that's now going to happen. And that's the beauty, really, of Bitcoin as well. So you do have this sort of free market where a situation like this happens, the Bitcoin miners are open to moving wherever they want to move. And, I mean, if you look now sort of at the hash rate, it's back up to where it was before. So, I mean, it's literally just a weak drop, and a whole bunch of those Bitcoin miners are moving elsewhere. So, yeah, I guess over the short term, yeah, definitely a red light. But over the long term, again, you know, just another sort of opportunity really to strengthen the network. At least that's the way I'm looking at it.
Well,
but it's also interesting to note, you know, there's a whole bunch of other cryptos, right, that aren't Bitcoin and that weren't impacted by this, but also saw sell-offs. So if you're looking at the likes of Solana, Avalanche, Polkadot, loads of cryptos that we've spoken about on the show before, what's currently happening in the market is that traders see a sell-off in Bitcoin, or they see a sell-off in traditional markets, and all of a sudden they go, I'm out, and I'm selling out of these other assets with absolutely no look through at the sort of fundamentals of these different cryptocurrencies. And I think that's also the opportunity, because naturally with the market pullback, obviously it sucks. I mean, $600 billion has been taken out of the crypto market. I'm not coming on here sugarcoating that at all. But this is the opportunity, and I'm not saying this is the bottom either. It could go down a bit further. Well, it could go down a lot further.
Let's just look at where we are this morning. It's 42,614 at the latest figure that I can get for Bitcoin. Ethereum's been hovering around 3,200, and remember, we hit some highs of well over 4.5 not so long ago. So are you still very bullish about Bitcoin? Are you still very bullish about Ethereum? What about those other cryptocurrencies we discussed last year, like Solana, for example? What's going on with them?
So, I mean, if you look at the likes of Solana, Avalanche, another cryptocurrency we'll be talking about in the show in the near future, we're looking at sort of bringing that onto the platform in the not too distant future. I mean, the fundamentals behind these are absolutely remarkable. So you've got the development teams that are moving on. It's never happened quicker than what is happening right now. The sort of brain drain from other industries as well is absolutely remarkable. So yes, I'm very bullish on the overall crypto market.
Okay.
And if you look at sort of the fear and greed index that you look at in traditional markets, right, which takes into effect as social media ratings, it takes into effect essentially Google Trends, a whole bunch of different information, and obviously the price of that particular asset that you're looking at. But if you look at the crypto fear and greed index, I mean, you're at sort of the lowest of lows when it comes to fear. People are very scared of what's going on in the market right now. Mm-hmm. And you do see these sort of knee-jerk reactions in either direction, right? When the market was moving up, everyone was wanting to pile in. And when the market was going down, like what it's been doing over the last while, people just want to sell. And so at some point in time, you will hit a bottom.
When you talk about the fear and greed index, then Warren Buffett's words ring in my brain, and he's no fool, although he may not be the most bullish about cryptocurrencies. He says, when others are greedy, be fearful, and when others are fearful, be greedy. So if you're saying that the fear index is low, and by no means does this constitute financial advice, but you're saying basically, if I read between the lines, this is a great time to buy.
Yeah, no, same as what I said in the show before. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a boring guy when it comes to giving any financial advice. And, you know, this isn't financial advice. But it's in these times that you should look at the market slightly differently to other people and go, okay, maybe this is an entry point. And not a major sort of bet, you know, your house and your life savings and all the rest on this exact price point. But you can go in and say, okay, right, I'm putting 1,000 Rand or 5,000 Rand or whatever that amount is at this price. If it goes down a further 10%, you get a further 10% discount. If it goes down a further 20%, you get a 20% discount. I mean, that's not the most scientific approach, but it's the approach that a lot of traditional hedge funds and investment providers actually follow as well. And I mean, if you look at sort of what else is going on in this space, believe it or not, you had Samsung enter the metaverse over this last week. There's actually now stores that you can go into, which is quite remarkable. The Australian Open has issued a whole bunch of NFTs, so you can actually buy NFTs representing past players. And I mean, these are pretty mainstream, like very much not technical / digitally focused businesses that are now in the weird crypto space, right? And I mean, another, I think, interesting leading indicator as well is that the top request from Airbnb in 2021 was to have crypto payments. Fascinating, right? I mean, that's a huge business.
Sure.
So it's those sorts of things that I look at and I go, okay, well, you know, of course, over the short term, we're going to see moves, ups and downs. And I mean, that's not going to stop today. But over the long term, we're still very bullish on the long-term opportunity of the crypto space.
Well, I spoke to some people over the holidays, and it's interesting that there are people all over the world who give Bitcoin as a Christmas gift. And I know a lot of people who did that. They're like, well, you know, I've got this this young grandson or whatever, and instead of giving him some stupid present, like a toy that he's going to break and throw away, I'm going to give him, you know, a 10th or a 20th or a 50th of a Bitcoin, and we'll see how that goes, which is kind of
the best gift of all.
Yeah,
money.
That's kind of exciting.
Money.
Right. All right. Sure.
Money that appreciates. That's the other thing.
So,
here's an interesting fun fact of the day, just to end things off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had purchased Bitcoin, and this is solely looking at Bitcoin, right? And remember, right, Bitcoin underperformed the other cryptocurrencies this last year.
Right.
But if you had purchased it at any point in time over the last 5 years, right, your worst return possible would be 24%, and that's not including the last 12 months. So essentially from year five
I don't think there's anyone on the JSE who's managed to get that kind of return from normal stocks in South Africa. Not a chance.
No, there's no asset in the world over a five-year period that's sort of shown those returns. So again, over the short term, yeah, there's been a big pullback. Is that an opportunity potentially? Again, you know, do your own research, do your own homework. We're on the show to talk about interesting opportunities, and I think to get more people in the know of what's going on in the crypto space, because it is so interesting, it's fascinating, it's exciting, it's a little bit quirky. Yeah, that's my job, really.
That's
so thanks,
right,
guys.
Well, Michael says it's in the dry and fearful season that future crypto millionaires are planting their seeds. So I suppose that's also speaking to what Sean had to say there. So listen, dude, it's the beginning of a brand new year. We obviously have lots to talk about, and we'll have an overview of what you think may be coming up. Obviously, you're not you know, you're Nostradamus, you don't have a crystal ball on your desk. But there may be indications of some big events that may be happening in the world of crypto. Perhaps we'll catch up on some of that the next time we speak. And you can give us some kind of a forecast of what you think is likely to happen based on, you know, what's going on in news generally. This Kazakhstan story is something I had no idea about until you brought it to us. So it's fascinating to also see what the various factors may be that affect price and that affect investors and that affect the overall economy. I read a fascinating article, which I'll forward to you, Sean, and we'll discuss maybe the next time we have the show, about a really interesting investor and someone who's been involved in Silicon Valley for a very long time, talking about the meta story around cryptocurrencies, which is something we also need to paint the picture again, because people just haven't heard enough of why this is such a good thing in the big picture. And we'll get onto that and a whole bunch of other interesting subjects as we go through the course of the next few episodes. But it's always good to see you. Happy New Year, and we'll speak to you again in a week.
Brilliant, guys. Thanks very much.
Cool, Sean.
Just to 2022.
Cool, man. Yeah, keep well. We'll speak to you later.
Take care.
Cheers. There's Sean Saunders, Revix.com. So don't forget, in a world where you never know what's going to be happening next, and hell, the last 2 years have delivered on that front, where there's been a lot of surprising developments and where we've had a whole bunch of things happen in the world that we weren't entirely sure we liked. And in a world where this kind of thing happens, you need to diversify. Revix allows you to effortlessly own a portfolio, diversified portfolio, of the world's top cryptocurrencies, automatically stays up to date with ever-changing markets, and you can find out more by going to Revix.com, R-E-V-I-X.com. It's the smart way to invest in crypto. Stick around. We've got a whole lot more coming for you in the next hour of this show, CliffCentral.com. Wednesday morning, for those people who are still not back at work, it's almost getting to the stage now where you should be embarrassed. CliffCentral.com.